Acts chapter 8, 28. The last and final chapter. And Paul and the other people on the ship have dared to go where no man has gone before. They have been battling storms, typhoon-type storms. They have been battered, cold, hungry, struggling to find their way without sun by day or stars by night, just kind of out on the seas at the whim of the winds that were just driving their ship wherever. These sailors were off course. They didn't know where they were. But all of a sudden, the morning dawns and they spot or they feel like land is nearby. And when dawn comes, they see land. They've had anchors out holding their ship during the night. Their hopes have been, you know, get me out of this torment that I have been in. And let me ask you a question. Does that echo in your heart and your mind this morning? Maybe you've been walking in a torment for a long time. Maybe you've been fighting a battle. Maybe you could just relate to the tiredness that these sailors are under. The sea has not relented at all. It's still coming at them. In fact, the closer to land that they get, the higher the waves become. So that those waves are splashing over the top of their ship, not just at the sides of it, not just throwing them up and down in the heaves of the ocean, but now the waves are coming awash on top of their ship. And though they have bailed out all sorts of cargo to try to keep them afloat, they see land, and their hopes are once again lit up. We can get out of this. They cut their anchors. They put the front sail out. They steer the rudders to make way for a bay that they see. And bays sometimes are just so, so wonderful to see when you've been out in the storms of life. A bay beckons peaceful, doesn't it? The gentle waves lapping against the sand on the beach. That's why I wore my palm trees this morning. I didn't know how I was going to get that in, but I just figured I'd get that in. Hey, it's your fault. You gave me the crazy socks in the first place, okay? I wasn't going to just put them in my drawer and never, you know, acknowledge them. Want to wear them once in a while. So the bay is beckoning to them. Oh, we can finally get out of this reckless sea. And their ship is going full force for the bay. They don't see the shoal under the waves. And the front of the boat just rams right into the shoal. We don't know if it was muddy, if it was rocky, or just exactly what the consistency of it is. All we know is the front of that boat is solid against it, and it ain't getting away. So now those waves that have been building are coming upon the ship, and it's just battering away. Isn't life like that sometimes for you? Life is hard. And there are times when it just tears at you. And you wonder, you even cry out and go, Lord, when? When is it all? Are the storms of my life finally just going to settle down? Give me a break, please, Lord. And the Lord would say to you this morning, oh, my child, I am your peace. Seek for me, for I am your peace. Don't give up hope, for I am here to give hope to you. Call out to me, and I will give you rest. For I desire to give you rest. Oh, but Lord, the battle that seems to be going on, I have to do, yes, you have to keep moving forward. But understand, in me is your rest. Though life is full of chaos, in me. And please get this, understand it, come under the authority of it. In Christ, you have peace. I mean, even Jesus himself said it. In this world, you will have trials. You'll have trouble. But come to me. Come to me. And I will give you rest. Oh, somebody in this room needs to hear that. Somebody needs to own that. You need to own it. You need to take that thought. If you go away with nothing else other than that, that your rest is in the Lord. It's not in the people around you. People cause chaos around you. Amen? Circumstances in life cause chaos around you. But in Christ is your peace. Have you seen his Bay of Peace yet? Now the ship is being tormented by the waves. It just continues to beat against the boat till the boat starts coming apart. The soldiers, they want to kill the prisoners because they know it's their job. If they don't take the soldiers to court, it's their head. But the commanding officer says, no, you're not going to harm any of them. Why? Because he really liked Paul. He saw a man of faith. Do people see a man or a woman of faith in you? Do they give you favors or favors to those around you because of your faith in Jesus Christ? Because I'll tell you what, friends. It's the steadiness of Christ's presence within you that others will see. And they will desire it. They too will want to be underneath that covering, that shelter, that same hope that you have. When they see that, when troubles batter against you, you know what? You stand there solid like a rock. Storms, you can come. You can come against me. That's okay, because I have a Savior. His name's Lord Jesus. And in him is my rest. He is the anchor that will hold me safe. Only him. Not the world. Your bank account's not going to save you. Your good-looking car out in the parking lot's not going to save you. Your fine-looking linens, they're not going to save you. Jesus is your only Savior. He's your only hope. And when life batters against you, stop declaring the waves. Oh, here comes another wave. Oh, here comes another wave. You empower the wave then. Instead, declare not the power of the wave, but the power of your God. And guess what? Those waves won't affect you. You will stand solid. You will have the truth in your heart. And you will not be lost. You will not be forgotten. Sometimes, though you feel like you can't swim to the bay, you grab a piece of lumber. And that lumber can be the cross of Jesus Christ. Because he will take you to that rest. He will take you to that bay of peace. So 276 people on this ship. And God has spoken through Paul that not one of them would be lost as long as they stayed with the ship. And they've all stayed with the ship. But now that ship is being torn apart. Now they're all swimming or surfing or paddleboarding, whatever. But they all have one aim. Oh, if the people of this church would all have one aim. For the peace of Jesus to be in their life. What a force we would be in this community. But no, we have things that draw us off here and draw us off there. We're a people that run after this thing and we run after that when the main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus. Jesus is the subject. Everything else, it just doesn't measure up. So, they all make it to the shore, and chapter 28 starts off this way. And when they had been brought safely through, and here's Luke's identity, because Luke is very much a part of this whole journey, then we found out that the island was called Malta. You see, the sailors, they were so lost and turned around by the seas. You see, people that we think are the experts, they don't have the answers for us. Everybody's looking for Trump and his advisors to have the answers for our country. We're looking in the wrong places, folks. We're looking in the wrong places. Our leader is God. Is God Almighty. And it's to him that we need to be petitioning and calling out and asking him to direct this country for his favor to be upon it, which means that our country has got to come into obedience once again to the truth of his word and putting prominence on him, and instead of having it taken away from our schools, from our lives, they want to take the ability for me to speak out of this pulpit. They want to try to regulate and legislate that I can only speak on certain parts of this word instead of giving the full word. They don't know who they're facing. Amen. Because I'm going to preach the truth of God's word. The truth of God's word is marriage is only established between a man and a woman. God does not acknowledge the other marriages. Man may want to. Why? Because man's lost in the sin of their lusts and their desires. But God said, I put man and woman together. That's the only thing I acknowledge. Everything else is an abomination to him. They get to the island. They find out from the people that are there that it's Malta. These people are of Greek origin. Some of them are retired soldiers. Some of them are other people that have just found this 60-mile long or big island. only 30 miles off the mainland and yet an island to itself. They all get there. They realize it's called Malta. Now, you gotta love this. And the natives showed us extraordinary kindness. Church, I love you. And I love you for this one reason. You show the love of Christ to all who walk in these doors. Because guess what? We're not here to judge the people that walk in these doors. Amen? There's only one righteous judge. And so if you have this spirit within you that feels like you've got to judge the other people around you, oh, are you in for a rude awakening? Because the world is not going to be judged on your values. It's going to be judged on the values of God and God alone. You're going to have to stand before a righteous judge, and he will never get it wrong. You ever judge somebody and then got it wrong? Yeah. Yeah. Ours is not to judge. Sometime in the beginning of March, there's a movie coming out. It's called The Shack. Is based on the book that a few years back I encouraged the church. In fact, I encouraged you so much I bought a case of them and asked you to read it during the summertime. I had some people leave the church because I did that. I even preached a sermon series based on The Shack, and I had people leave the church because of it. They judged me as a pastor. They said, "You're just not bringing us the truth of God's word." How wrong they were. You see, people jump from church to church to church because they do what? They come in with an attitude of, "I'm going to judge the pastor. I'm going to judge the music. I'm going to judge the people that are there." Why do we do that? We are so full of ourselves sometimes that if we'd only get past the mask that we've put on and see that, you know what? These are real children of God who have one desire, and that's to give glory and honor to God. Because that's really what we're matched up with God to do. I'm not trying to compare myself to the guy sitting next to me. But instead, what I try to do is I try to encourage the one sitting next to me. Where's your walk? How well do I know you? Now, some people think that I can get to know you just because you show up on a Sunday morning. Oh, pastor, you know me. After all, I'm there every Sunday. I don't know you. Not in the way that the Bible tells us that we are to know each other. We're to share life with one another. We're not to be afraid of each other. We're to share about our weaknesses. We're to share our strengths with each other. We're to be a brother and a sister. I think that's a problem with our big homes today. We buy these big homes and everybody's got their own little nook and cranny. They've got their own TV and they've got their own computer. They've got their own telephone. And we get so separated. In fact, there are studies based upon that, that the more that people live in a smaller confines, the more healthy they are. Because they learn to share. It's not all about that mine, mine, mine. Like the birds in Nemo, mine, mine. No. It's about, this is ours. And we keep the place clean because we all like a clean environment. Wow. Thanks, Lord. So the natives showed extraordinary kindness. You see, it's just the little things. We don't have to be overwhelming with the things that we do for others. It's the small things that matter. And that's the title of the message today. Little deeds, great results. So there you go. They showed extraordinary kindness because of the rain that had set in and because of the cold. These people are just coming out of these cold waters. Their clothes are soaked. And what do the natives of this island, this little island, do? They build a fire. Now, you got to understand, this is prior to those little clicker things or matches. Can you imagine what even the idea of building a fire on an island was all about? There'd have to be some kind of flinty type of rock, something that they could hit to create a spark, to start a fire. There was the labor of going around and collecting these articles. I mean, the rains had been coming. Everything's wet. Where did they find firewood and the ability? But somehow, these islanders, number one, they saw the ship that was wrecked. They didn't ignore what was going on. How do we look out for people that are shipwrecked in our world? How do we look out for those that might be possibly drowning? You see, our outlook is always supposed to be outwards. But too many of us, we just look inward. Well, Pastor, I'm comfortable. I mean, after all, I'm kind of older. What do I have to give anybody else? You know what you have? You have the kindness of your experience in life. Well, I'm praying for him, Pastor. Yeah, that's a passive way of saying, I don't want to really get involved. But I'm going to get involved from a distance. You see, the world is falling apart around us. And we're all standing there with our hands in our pockets going, wish somebody could fix this mess. And God up in heaven is going, I've got people to fix the mess. Really, Lord, well, I hope you send them here soon. You are already amongst yourselves. Get your hands out of your pockets and start doing the kingdom work. Well, what's the kingdom work, Lord? My son gave you those instructions. You are to make disciples, followers of my son. What? So let me ask you this question. And I'm getting in your grill right now. I'm crawling right in there. Who are you mentoring or discipling in your knowledge of Jesus Christ? If you have been given this wonderful salvation through Jesus Christ your Lord, who are you mentoring or discipling? Who are you sharing Jesus with on a regular basis? Somebody maybe of lesser knowledge. Who? Because, you see, that's what Jesus told us to do. That was the Great Commission. That wasn't just to the 12. That's to the church today. Make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that I have taught you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Right? So what are we doing, church? How are we being effective in our community? What are we doing? The natives saw the need. They kindled a fire, and they received us all. They received us. They didn't reject us. They, well, we'll take them, and them, and that guy, that one's ugly. You see the way they're dressed? Are you kidding me? No, we're not taking you. You, go drown somewhere. No, they received us all. Now, out of all these people that finally made it to the shore, and they're shivering, they're cold, they're wet, they welcome a fire being built for them. And I'm sure, you know, have you ever been around a bonfire on a beach? If you're 10 people out, are you getting warm? No. Who are the ones that are getting warm? The ones around the fire. Oh, we come and we have a great fire of excitement of God's movement on this church. We have a faithful group of people that meet here every Sunday morning from 9 to 9:45, and we fly closer to the flame of Jesus. We come here to intercede, to not only take care of our needs, but we pray for the Spirit of God to descend upon this place. We get ourselves right before God, expecting Him to show up and to do a miracle today. Faithful people. And I love you all for doing it. We've been doing this prayer time now for going on 3 years. It started off with just a few. In fact, the numbers were in the single digits. Now, we have finally reached double digits. And it's wonderful, the presence of God is here in a strong way. And I, as a pastor, have nothing to do but thank those who will join me to ask the Lord to come and descend upon this place in the power of His Spirit to change hearts and lives, for the power of His Spirit to be in the words that we speak, to be in the music that we play, that cause us to revel in His presence. But there's stuff I'm still missing. I want to see God do miracles. 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 I want to see the outpouring of God. And let me go on here. Paul is one of the people that's on this ocean. He's just as cold and wet as the rest of them. But what does Paul do? You see, this is a leader. This is a leader. This is someone who's a follower of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's always looking for an opportunity to serve others. You see, that's what's wrong in our country today. Everybody, what's in it for me? Instead of, what can I do? You know, President Kennedy had it right. Don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. But all of a sudden, in just a span of a few years, we've got it backwards, folks. We got a bunch of people yelling and screaming out in the streets. Oh, what's in it for me? You're taking away my gravy train. Now, there are people in need. I get that. There are people that need, they've got health concerns. Wouldn't it be great if the churches became such a miraculous center of healing that people no longer went looking at doctors? Instead, they came to the church because they knew that the power of God was in the power of those people asking God to work the miraculous again. Now, Paul is just like the rest of the people. He's cold, he's shivering, he needs fire. So he goes over, he doesn't lay around idle. Instead, he goes and he grabs a bundle of sticks. And he goes over and he goes to lay them on the fire. And what happens? It says a viper came out because of the heat. You see, the viper is fine in the product of the sticks. But when the heat comes on, the viper says, hey, I'm out of here. Who brought me here? You see, we as the church, we are going to suffer attack from the world. It's going to happen. But greater is he that's in me than he that's out here in this world. Amen? Greater is he that's in this place than he that's in this world. The viper attaches itself to Paul's hand. And so what happens? Well, verse 4. The natives saw the creature hanging from his hand. They began saying to one another, undoubtedly, this man is a murderer. And though he's not been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. Now, we see that word justice in some Bibles, justice will be capitalized because it's believed that justice was one of the gods of the natives there on that island. And so they declared Paul was guilty. Oh, he must be a murderer. He gonna die. And we're gonna just watch him. Nobody gets up to help Paul. Instead, Paul, it says, he shook the creature off into the fire. And then these wonderful words from Luke. And Paul suffered no harm. But the natives, they were expecting that he was about to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. Judgment. We're also quick to judge. Oh, you're of a different color. You're of a different culture. You're of a different language. Religion. You can name the differences that are out there. And we're so quick to judge each other rather than help each other. We're so quick to want to judge, oh, this guy's going to die. And they're all waiting for him to just kind of poof. You know, it's kind of like going to a NASCAR race. You're waiting for that one big accident. Come on, don't lie to me. I know you are. I mean, otherwise, you're just totally bored by a bunch of guys going really fast, doing nothing but left turns. And you're a moron. No, I'm sorry. That was very judgmental on my part. Forgive me, Lord. Paul shakes off the viper. It goes into the fire. And an interesting thing, today there are no snakes on the island of Malta. Amazing, isn't it? He doesn't suffer. He doesn't die. The natives wait a long time. waiting for him to do this, and he doesn't. And so then all of a sudden they change their minds. Well, he must be a god. Wow. Flip-flop like a fish out of water. He must be a god. So they take this news to the rest of the island. And all of a sudden, this man who is very influential, Publius is his name. And Paul and Luke are taken into his company. It's obvious this man could not be hospitable to all 276 of the crew. But this is a book that Luke has been writing. And he says, Paul and I were brought into Publius's home. And there for 3 days, we're given hospitality. Let me ask you, when's the last time you asked somebody over to your house for a meal, to share a meal with them? When's the last time you had somebody from church to sit down and break bread together? And yet we call ourselves a family? Come on, really? Well, I'm waiting for my invitation to come. Well, sometimes to get an invitation, you need to throw the first one out. Just saying. So Publius, he had a father who was bed afflicted with a recurrent fever and dysentery. And so Paul, after receiving the hospitality of Publius, says, you know what, I've got something I can do for you. Now, this is a little narrative from my point of view. But Paul goes in to the father's bedroom, and he prays first. Notice the order in the scripture. It says, first, Paul prays. Then Paul lays his hands on the man. So first, Paul is checking in with God. God, do you want to heal this man? And if so, empower my hands to lay upon him and bring your healing, Lord. In 1887, they finally discovered on the island of Malta that the goats that are on that island were the source of this same fever and dysentery that the islanders had known all along. That there was a virus in the goat's milk that causes fever and dysentery to continue to happen again and again. For 1800 years, until medical science could finally figure it out, hey, this is the root of the problem. This was something that happened on the island of Malta almost daily. Oh, somebody else has a fever. They've got dysentery. Wow, I wonder what the source of this is. And in the late 1800s, science tells them there's a virus in the milk of the goats. And so they start treating the goat's milk. Today, no fever, no dysentery in the island of Malta. You know, isn't that awesome? Sometimes God gives insights to us. You know, we see someone else struggling in life, and God gives us a word of knowledge to give to that person. Some word of encouragement, some way to help strengthen them. As soon as Paul laid his hands upon this father, the man is well. And Luke writes, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases were coming to them and getting cured. Now, some Bible illustrators say, you know, it was both the fact that Luke was also a physician. And so they try to disperse it out, especially Barclay. William Barclay is a wonderful commentator on scriptures, but he always tries to explain away the miracles. He tries to give credit to man. I'm not dissing because of that. I love his historical backgrounds on the Bible. But one thing when you read Barclay's commentaries, you got to keep that in mind. He will always explain away the miraculous. And I had another Bible teacher point that out to me. And I was just like, wow, he's one of my faves. What? Yeah, it's true. And he does the same thing in this story. These people, because of the small things that Paul and Luke were doing. You see, Luke's not writing about anything that the other people from the boat have been doing. He's just writing about the man of God and how the man of God is empowered to bring the presence of God and the power of God into the lives of these people on Malta. And what happens? The island of Malta, there is a great revival. And Paul is able to bring the truth of God's word. You see, that's what happens when you meet people's needs rather than sitting around and judging them. When you meet their needs, you have the ability to bring God's presence into their life. Lord God, help us to get something out of this message today. Something that spurs us on towards being more hospitable to each other. Maybe towards spending time with each other. Lord, that maybe somebody was challenged that they need to be discipling or mentoring someone else. Or maybe that they need to be mentored or discipled. Lord, you've called us into this relationship with you. But you want our relationship not to go stale. You want it to continue growing. May we forever be on that journey with you, digging deeper into our relationship with you and with each other. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Speaking of welcoming, I want you to welcome a couple of friends of mine that I've known for 15 plus years. Gabriel and Eloisa Gutierrez. This is a wonderful pastor and his wife who have been serving in our community. They started out with Harry and Lenita out at the vineyard. And as of the first of this year, Gabriel and Eloisa, if you would please come up here. That's your cue. Their church meets with us here on Sunday afternoons, and they're a welcome addition, not a subtraction, an addition to this church. And we are blessed because their presence has been here. This is a praying church. This is a gospel preaching pastor. This is a couple that have been laboring in the Hispanic community here in Prescott Valley. And we need to pray for God's blessings on their church. But also, one other greater thing, Pastor Gabriel brought to me, I'd like our churches to worship together. Yeah, right? And just as the islanders of Malta welcomed on the 276 people, bring all 276 of your people here, okay? Next Sunday, their church is going to join our church in this service, at this service time. Following that service, his church, their church, is going to put on a luncheon. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're fixing Italian. Greek? German? No. They are fixing some wonderful Hispanic food for us, and that is all for a donation. It's not just because they like us. I mean, they do like us. Don't take me wrong. But they are doing it for a donation. And can you tell us what that donation is all about, brother?
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. First, I'd like to say thank you.
You're welcome.
You got a great pastor. I know him for 16 years. And he's my friend. And he's a great pastor. And I see my pastor, too, here, mm-hmm. Pastor Harry, Pastora Lanita. I attended there for 5 years, sitting there. You are the best. Thank you. Thank you for those years.
Who's better?
I was like you sometimes with big storms. Yeah. In our lives. And I was sitting, you know, in his church for 5 years until one time he said, Gabriel, I think it's time to do something with the Spanish community.
Amen.
So he encouraged him, Lanita, and we jumped into the boat. And it was so great. It was so great. So because Pastor Harry got a passion for missions.
Yeah.
I got a passion for missions, too. You know, he encouraged. So my father, he received the Lord, my mom, in 1980s in Mexico. Now they live in Phoenix, Arizona, for years and years. But one of the dreams of my mother and my father is to preach the gospel in the little town, mm-hmm. what they born and you know where they grew up and where they received the Lord in there, and that's what we are doing right now. I went like 3 times already to the little town where I grew up, and it's nothing. Nobody, you know, preaching the gospel in there. Hmm. So when I went there, you know. There's the church about 45 minutes that my mother and my father attend and build the church in there, you know, but they always walk. And I told the pastor, because I preached in there that day, I told the pastor, Pastor, what happened in our little town? Because he got groups and leaders that send it to preach in like 12 or more little towns, but nothing in our little town. And I asked, and he said, you know, it's hard in there. I try a lot of times. It's very hard. So my heart was jumping, you know, for my little town. And we decided to do something in there. You know, God put in my heart. So I went already like 2 times. And this is going to be the 3rd time. But now I'm going to take my family, my 2 kids. We're going to take also, like 12 or more people, like I think it's like a ministry, kids ministry from Phoenix. That those are a couple who wants to go and do something with the kids. And we want to take also the musicians from my father's church, the whole you know group, the band, and we're going to take it there. And my mom said, I talked to her another day. I asked. She told me, how we want to do? We're going to sleep, you know? And I said, well, God is going to provide.
Amen.
And I called my uncle who received the Lord already, and he lived in North Carolina, and I asked whether we're going there. And he said, I'm going to ask my friend if he can borrow a house, mm-hmm. you know? And then he called me yesterday and said, I got the house for you guys. So that was awesome, you know? So now that the food we're gonna do the next, it's for that trip, specific for that trip, you know. And so I hope that you're going to like it, enjoy, you know, and also you can plant the seed in that trip, amen. In the mission trip.
Amen.
So thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Join me in prayer for this work. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing Gabriel and Eloisa to our church, to your church, Lord. This is their building just as much as it's our building. And this is your work just as much as this is our work. Lord, we are asking for your magnanimous blessing to be upon this church, for it to grow, for it to multiply, for the Spirit of God to just fall upon it mightily. Lord, we pray your protection upon Gabriel and Eloisa. Strengthen them, Lord God, in those times when they feel so tired, so tense from doing all the ministry. Lord, raise up alongside of them leaders that will help them in this work. Bless this outpouring, this mission work towards Gabriel's home and his father and mother's work there. And may we as a church embrace them as a mission as well. And not only be blessed by the food that we're going to have next Sunday, but bless them with an offering to be able to take there. Just as Paul was given offerings from all the churches to take to the poor in Jerusalem, so, Lord God, help us to be generous in our outpouring of support toward this work for your kingdom. We ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.